So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and the mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15:51. Won't that be something for us all to rejoice in? Amen. When we no longer have a corruptible body, but an incorruptible. We no longer have a mortal body, but we have an immortal body. Death is the last enemy of man to be conquered by the Lord. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians 15:25-26. Just several verses on back. 1 Corinthians 15:25-26. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15:25-26. This is the last enemy that is to be conquered. Once it's conquered, we won't ever have to worry about it again. I tell you, I have fear and pity for those people out there who believe that there are no eternity. That when we die, we're just buried and that's going to be it. I have people in my own family that believe this way, and I talked to them about it, and I said, what if you're wrong? And they said, you're going to heaven and we're going to hell. How bad a statement is that, to think about that statement? Death is a departure from this world. Now turn back over to Ecclesiastes 12:5. Ecclesiastes 12:5. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long house, and the mourners go about the streets. Ecclesiastes 12:5. Here we see some of their talking in Ecclesiastes about the death of an individual. And he went to the longhouse, and the mourners are about in the street. Death is a departure from this body. Turn over to James 2:26. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2:26. When we die, our spirit leaves this body, and it's not here anymore. This body's gone decay, it's gone rot. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's what's going to happen to us. This body is going to return to dust. And our spirit's going to God. And guess what? We're going to stand right here one day. Every spirit is going to be standing on judgment day in front of the judgment seat of God. So you better be prepared. We're only using this body while we're here on this earth. You know, when I was a kid, that was hard for me to comprehend. But like I said a while ago, every day a new wrinkle comes in, or I get a new crick, new catch in the shoulder or elbow, or knees don't work like they used to. I told somebody one day, you know, when we get to heaven, I may have to dance a jig because I'm just in such feeling so good because, you know, I got a new spiritual body. It's immortal. Death was designed to be a gain. Paul talks about this in Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I have the same sentiment. The only thing I'm doing is marking time here on this earth till I can die and go to judgment. I'm going to miss people here on earth, but like I said, one day if we're all faithful, once again, we're all going to be in heaven together. We won't ever have to part again. It'll be like church service for all of eternity, seeing our brothers and sisters and praising God and singing praises to God and having fellowship one with another. Death is an emancipation for the righteous. It is rest from our labors. Turn over to Revelation 14, 13. Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their laborers, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, 13. I want you to think about the end of that scripture. Their works do follow them. Did it follow the rich man and Lazarus after they died? It did. Their labors followed them into the next life. But the one thing that we have to remember is there's going to be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. Those former things are going to be passed away. You can read about this in Revelation 21st chapter. Like I said, that's going to be a great and glorious thing not to have any more sorrow or pain, death nor tears. Death serves as a transportation, an exit from this world and an entrance into another world. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. This is Genesis 35, 18. It says here, her soul was in departing. And it says, for she died. So it's got to be departing to go to somewhere. It didn't just disappear. So it's transported. It is necessary that we put off this physical body of flesh and blood. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. This flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Our spirit can, but the body can't. We don't need this body anymore. It'll go back to where God made it from, and that was from the dust of the earth. Death is not the end of man's influence. We read this a while ago in Revelation 14, 13. And their works do follow them. So make sure that your works that you're doing here on earth is worthy to get you into heaven in the next life. If not, you better change something immediately. Because all of eternity in hell is going to be a terrible thing. Terrible, terrible thing. This is another argument for immortality of man. Revelation says their works do follow them. Well, how can our works follow us if this body dies and that's the end? There is no more. If man's influences does not die, it stands to reason that man does not die either. I want you to think about this evening and think about this that's here on this wall behind me. I said this to start this sermon. Everyone above the age of accountability has the choice of going to either heaven or going to hell. It's not my choice. It's not your family's choice. It's not your friend's choice, it's your choice. What is your life going to be like after you die? Is it going to be in hell or is it going to be in heaven? Like Lazarus or like the rich man's life after death? Are you ready for death? Because we know not when the time will come. I've said this before, we don't know when the second coming's coming. It may come tonight. We may not ever make vacation Bible school tomorrow. Heaven forbid, some of us may die in a car crash tonight. Or we may go to sleep and die of a heart attack in the middle of the night. I've told a story about my father. My stepmother didn't go to church one Sunday night. Daddy was at church that night, and he was so worried about my stepmother because she wasn't feeling well. He went home that night, went to bed, and never got up the next morning. And everybody at church said he was more concerned with his wife than he was himself, because he said, "I feel fine." And he went home, never got up the next morning. I've always said that I grieved for him when he died, but the only reason I grieved was because I missed him. It wasn't because he was dead, because I know where he's going, because he taught me where I need to be going. And he lived the life that we need to be living to get through the narrow gate, to get to paradise, and receive our rewards and get to heaven. And that's why I know that I can do it, because he did it. We need to be ready for that. If we are prepared, we will only have to die one time. If not, we will have to die a second death. I told you, everyone in this room is going to have to die once. You say, "Well, Brother Sam, how can you die twice?" Turn over to Revelation 20 and verse 14 and you'll see. Revelation 20 and verse 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Revelation 20 and verse 14. How many people here want to die two times? I hope none of you do. I know I don't. So you better have your ducks in a row, like I said earlier. You better be ready to go to paradise, go receive your rewards, and go to heaven. Because if you don't, the lost is down here. They're going through this wide gate. They're going to have torment, condemnation, and depart to hell. That's the choices you have. If you've never obeyed the gospel and you're above the age of accountability, if something happens to you before you obey the gospel, this is the only choice you got, the only place you're going to be able to go. You must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. You must believe the gospel. Hebrews 11:6. Repent of all of your sins. Acts 17:30. Confess Christ as the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Mark 16:15-16. Be faithful to the end of your life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You do that, and guess what? You're going to make it to heaven. And if you make it to heaven, and we all do, then we're all going to have all of eternity to spend together. I hope y'all like me enough to be thinking about spending all of eternity with me. I love all of you, and I'll be glad to spend all of eternity with y'all. If you're a Christian, though, and you hadn't been living like a Christian should, you stand a chance to be lost and go through the wide gate and hit torment, condemnation, and hell. So you better get your life right. If you've been sinning and you just want the prayers of the congregation, maybe you've just been weak. You hadn't really been sinning, but you've just been tempted hard. Come forward and ask for the prayers of the church. Through prayers, we can strengthen one another. We can encourage one another. We can unify, edify one another. But if we can help you anyway spiritually this evening, please come before it's too late. Don't end up in hell. You have the choice and the chance right now to make a choice of either heaven or hell. The choice is yours. If we can help you anyway spiritually, please come as we stand and as we sing.